Hey, New Life Gillette Church, we are thrilled you decided to listen to our teaching on your favorite podcast app. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, would you let us know by visiting yes.newlifegillette.com? Here is this week's teaching.
Well, good morning. I hope you guys are doing well this morning. I want to say good morning to all of our friends on Church 307 all over Wyoming and our friends at the prison and at the jail. So excited that you're joining us. And today is the last day of our Y'all series. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. If you got a Bible or if you got the Bible app on your phone, go ahead and open that up. If not, it's going to be right here on the screen beside me so you can follow along. But while you're turning there, today is an exciting day because today is the official launch of Uncharted Church in Casper that we've been supporting. Yes, yeah, that's worth celebrating. Absolutely. Pastor Mike's not here this morning. He is in Casper celebrating and supporting that church, but we should always celebrate when a new church launches. Amen? The world needs more churches. We can't saturate the market on churches. We always need more places the gospel is being shared. So what I want to encourage you to do is throughout the day today, pray that people hear the gospel and that their lives are changed. And also pray that the people who hear the gospel at Uncharted for the first time this week, that they respond to the gospel and that they come back next week and that a fruitful ministry is planted there in Casper. Can you do that with me? Can you pray for that? All right, awesome. Colossians chapter 3, we are going to start reading in verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, here meaning the church. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And cover all these virtues. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you so much for this new work that's being planted in Casper. We thank you for all the work that went in before today, for all the seeds that have been planted and ministry that's been done, and we thank you for the public celebration. And today we ask that what you establish would be planted deeply and would continue, and that nothing could stop your work through Uncharted Church in Casper. And today, here at New Life, we ask that we would hear your word, that my ideas or thoughts, if any of them make it through. If there's anything I say that's just my opinion, let us notice it so we can let it go. But if there's anything we talk about that's consistent with your word, faithful to who you are, plant it deeply in our hearts because we are here to become like you, Jesus. Amen. I have a question for you, and it's very important that you do not answer this question out loud. Is there something that if you overheard someone talking about it, like you're on a plane and the person seated next to you starts saying it, or you meet someone and in the first couple minutes of the conversation, they say that thing and you know you guys aren't going to get along. You just know you're not going to hang out. You're not going to be friends. Anybody? You got something like that? As a lifelong Duke Blue Devils college basketball fan, when I hear someone mention the University of North Carolina Tar Heels, I'm just like, we're not going to hang out. So if I'm on a plane, stewardess, can I get a new seat? The exit row is fine as long as I don't have to help a UNC fan to safety. That's fine. Another thing is, I'm a dog person. Any dog people here? Where are the dog people? Yes, yes, God's chosen. I love dogs. When I hear that someone's a cat person, I think I'm not sure if we're going to hang out ever. I think God lovingly crafted man's best friend And then I think God made some cool large cats, you know, like tigers, lions, maybe a mountain lion. Those are kind of cool. But I think Satan twisted those cats into the house cat. I think that's what happened. The problem that I have to wrestle with is that my son is a cat person. So I have a hard time with cat people, but I made one. So that's what I talk about in therapy, if you want to know. I have to deal with that. There are trivial things, right? There are funny things that, you know, they're not that serious, but they might divide you. Like maybe you have a hard time at a church where the primary preacher is a Chiefs fan. Mike's not here. I can say whatever I want this morning. There are also bigger things, right? Bigger things that threaten to divide us. Stuff that actually isn't just playful, but can be a big deal. Politics, part of the world you grew up in, skin color, money, theology, all of these things that threaten to divide us, pull us apart. Something I've noticed, maybe you've noticed this, is that sometimes when you have history with someone, that the history you have can outweigh the division that would threaten you. I've said this before. One of my favorite things to do is hunt. Hunting is my primary hobby. That's what I love to do. That's what I spend most of my time and money doing. One of my good friends, we used to be very close when we lived in the same town, we're still friends, is an ethical vegan. We're both followers of Jesus. You can imagine that we are fairly different, that our hobbies lead us in very different directions. In eternity, when God serves us dinner, one of us is going to be very surprised. I don't think it's going to be me, but we'll see. I've been wrong before. But that is division, right? The things we do with our time, the way we view the world is divided. But I remember when we were first getting to know one another, when we lived in Michigan, he was getting his master's in philosophy and I was in seminary, and we would sit around the campfire in my backyard and we would just talk about ideas, and he would raise a question. What do you think about this? And I would talk about this. And both of us, I think, me especially, I learned to think about things through those conversations with him. And we were forming both of those opinions. Our opinions have drifted since then. But how much would I have lost formationally in understanding the world if we hadn't been friends back then? We had history that overcomes the differences we have today. Maybe you played high school football with somebody and now 20 years later, your lives could not be more different, but you ran 3-a-days together back in the day. So you're still friends no matter what. In the church I worked at in Michigan, there were two older guys who loved to work on their trucks and they loved barbecue. They loved to stand around a grill or a smoker cooking meat. And they did that together for months before they realized they had polar opposite political views. It didn't come up for months. Sometimes we have a history that outweighs. We have a shared experience that can be stronger than whatever would divide us. Now, in this passage of scripture that we just read, Paul begins by telling us something that's true that we need to understand. Then he tells us something to do, and then he tells us something we need to allow to happen. We picked up the story at the end of a paragraph where Paul seems to be summarizing what came before. Paul is the author. He wrote much of the New Testament. He seems to be summarizing everything that came before, and he says that here in the church, this would have been a letter written to a church like us in a city called Colossae and to the surrounding areas, a church that would have gathered in synagogues publicly like we're doing now and would have probably gathered in their homes in smaller groups throughout the week, much like we do through life groups. So he's talking about the church, and he says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, which is a point of division in culture. Here, there is no circumcised or uncircumcised, which is another point of division in culture, people that normally wouldn't spend any time together. There's no barbarian, Scythian. These would have been probably things that you would have called someone or assumed about someone's past that would have kept them out of your community. No, we don't treat anybody like that. We don't consider anybody those things here. There is no slave or free, another dividing point in culture. Something that would have kept people apart. Why is there none of that here? Because Christ is all and is in all. Scripture says, Paul says in other places, and later on in this passage, that we are the body of Christ, meaning that where we are, Christ is and working through us. So whatever background you came from, whatever you brought in today, Christ is in that, and you are part of Christ working in the world. So Christ is all, and he is in all. Another place in Colossians that says, Christ is before all things, and all things hold together in him. So Christ is all, and he is in all. The first thing Paul tells us is that you and I have something in common. If we follow Jesus, we have something in common that outweighs anything in culture that could divide us. There is something that we have in common in Christ that is far stronger than anything that could divide us in culture. I feel like that deserved an amen. I'm just going to say that. We have something in common in Christ that is far stronger than anything that could divide us in culture. Culture is constant. For as long as there have been humans, we have been in tribes and factions and divisions. One people doing this, one person doing that. Christ is all and is in all. All who are in Christ are his body. What we have in common, what we share in common, is significantly stronger than anything that's not Jesus. What we share in common is stronger than anything outside of the core foundational tenets, the foundational things we believe in Christ. Christ is our unity. Everything else is secondary. So Christ tells us first that there's this truth, that because of this, so he says, therefore, which is another way of saying because of, therefore, clothe yourselves or put on something, put on kindness and compassion. Have any of you ever trained for something or studied for something? Maybe you did med school, you studied for the MCAT, you had to work hard, something like that. Okay, yeah. So if you trained for a marathon, you know that if you run long enough, eventually you always want to run and you never want to sleep in, right? Or you guys go to the gym. If you go to the gym, you understand that if you go to the gym enough times, then you're never going to want to hit snooze and skip leg day, right? You're never going to want to do that. No? You always, if you study once, then you always want to study. If you're studying for the MCAT, you never hated studying, right? No? And for me, it's been hunting. I love to hunt. I said that earlier. And I have this problem, and it's that I normally assume that eventually things will just get easy. That if I work hard enough, things will get easy. So I thought at the beginning of hunting that eventually I would be impervious to cold, that I would just be warm all the time if I just did it long enough, or that eventually my legs wouldn't burn walking up the other ridge with a loaded pack. That wouldn't happen. But what I've realized as I've hunted more is that being better at it doesn't mean not being cold. It means staying out there even when I'm cold. And hiking farther doesn't mean not ever getting tired. It means hiking over the next ridge even when my legs are burning. Now, you've experienced that. If you want to get a good grade on a test, you don't wait to study until studying feels right. You study, right? And if you want to go to the gym, you don't wait to go to the gym until working out is easy. You keep going anyway. We don't wait to do something until we feel like doing it. We do it until we feel like doing it. Sometimes we think the same way spiritually. I think we imagine that if I follow Jesus long enough, that no one will annoy me anymore. I will just attain some perfect spirituality. And no one will bother me. Nobody's politics will annoy me. Nobody whose background is different. No one will say anything that offends me. I'll just wake up in the morning perfectly at peace with the world. But that's not what Paul says. He gives us something to do. He says, clothe yourselves, which we all do every day. You have to do that on purpose. You wake up in the morning and you decide to put on something that prepares you for the day. Right now, you have to put on a lot of something to prepare you for the day. At least I do, because I'm from North Carolina and it doesn't get this cold. This white stuff is not common where I'm from. And you clothe yourself. You do it on purpose. We don't wait for kindness to feel natural. We choose to be kind. It's something that we put on. We, because of what we have in common in Christ, we don't wait until I feel at peace with a different background, with a different socioeconomic status than me, with a different politics. No, we choose to put on as if it's something that I can choose to wear. Today, I will choose kindness. I will choose gentleness. That might not be natural for me, but I actually can choose how I'm going to interact with people. Following Jesus is not so much about waiting until I feel at peace with the world, but it's about choosing to put on the way of Jesus in spite of how I feel about the world. Because what I have in common in Christ is far stronger than anything that could divide us in culture. He goes on, he says, bear with one another in forgiveness, forgiving one another as the Lord forgave you. Another way you could translate the words bear with would be stand up for. Stand up for each other by forgiving. How do you have one another's back in the church? You forgive one another. Offenses happen. We talked about that last week. If you are a follower of Jesus long enough, someone will offend you, someone will hurt you. How do we stand together as Christians? How do our communities weather the storms that life will come at, what life will inevitably throw at us? We forgive one another. It's something we choose to do. You have to take a stand in forgiveness. We don't wait to forgive until we're not angry. We take a stand in forgiveness. And then at the end, he says, over everything, put on love. I think we should imagine that like putting on your jersey before a game. What's the jersey that we wear as Christians? Love over everything. If you've been married for like 10 minutes, then you know that love is not something you feel all the time. Love actually isn't a feeling at all. Affection is a feeling. Obsession is a feeling. Attraction is a feeling. There are lots of emotions associated with love, but love itself is not a feeling. Love is a decision that you make. Love is something you choose to do. A healthy marriage is something that you choose to build by deciding to love one another in spite of the swaying emotions of life. A healthy marriage is built, not found. You know, we talk about love in our culture as if it's like gum on the sidewalk. Like you could just be walking along and be like, ah, man, love, I fell into it. It's on me now. I guess I'm in love. You can't fall into love. This is a sidebar in my sermon for all of the dating and engaged people. Love isn't something you can fall into. And as a sidebar for all the married people, if it's not something you can fall into, it's not something you can fall out of. Love is something you do. Something you choose to do, and you choose to keep doing in spite of the swaying emotions of life. So Paul tells us in our communities to put on love like a jersey. We don't wait until we feel loving towards people. We decide to treat one another with love. Why? Because Christ is all and he is in all. And the way you treat someone made in the image of Christ is the way you treat Christ. So we put love on over everything else. Now, this teaching could apply, it could be very helpful to any relationships that you have. You could apply this in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, anywhere you're meeting other people, this could be helpful. But as I said earlier, Paul was writing to a church that, like us, would gather in a synagogue and would gather in homes throughout the community, would gather together and then divide it into smaller groups, much like life groups. So I think the most practical application here is how we live in life groups together. It's how we live in community together. And I want to make this as clear as I can because I believe being clear is being kind. You do not find a healthy life group, you make a healthy life group. You don't find healthy community. You don't fall into healthy community. It's not something you happen into. It's something you create. How? By clinging to what's true and choosing what you are then going to do, how you're going to treat one another. Now, there are some good reasons to leave a life group. There are some really good reasons to try a life group and say, that one wasn't a good fit for me at this season of life. Now, there are not good reasons, if I can be so bold, there's not a good reason to give up on life groups. There's not a good reason to say, I tried it, it didn't work for me. There is a good reason to say, I tried that one, it didn't work, Let's try again. You might be 22 and single and you sign up for a life group and then realize everybody else in the life group is married with kids and it's just not the same stage of life. And you might say, the things I'm going through are not the same things as those people. So I'm going to find a life group that's got people who are in the same stage of life as me so I can have community. That's a good thing to do. If you experience that, then go find a new life group. Or God might be calling you to lead a life group. So you're going to take a step away from the group that you're in and go launch a new life group. That's a good reason to leave a life group. You might be an introvert. Where are the introverts at? You guys aren't going to raise your hands. You're introverts. You might be an introvert and you want a calm, quiet discussion. And you go to a life group and it's full of just the loudest extroverts that you have ever met. And it's noisy and everybody's just having a blast the whole time. It's basically a party. And you're like, this isn't my scene. I want to go have a quiet discussion that's not going to turn into a lively debate. That's fine. That would be a good reason to say, you know what? That life group wasn't a good fit for me. I'm going to go find a different life group that fits my personality better. Or you might be going through something in life. And maybe you've struggled with infertility and miscarriage, and it wouldn't be wise for you to be in a life group where every couple is pregnant or just had a baby. That'd be hard. That's why Sarah and I are going to be in the back helping people find life groups. That's why you can find my email address on the website. And if you're saying I'm in a life group, it's not a good fit, help me find one. We will help you find a life group where your stage of life and your story are going to fit in and you're going to find that sort of community. There are good reasons to say that life group wasn't a good fit right now. I'll find a different one. But there are also really bad reasons to leave a life group. And if I can be bold enough just to say the thing this morning. Politics is not a good reason to leave a life group. Secondary theology, what you believe about the end times or the first chapter of Genesis or what version of the Bible you read, is not a good reason to leave a life group. Things that are not going to last into eternity are not a good reason to divide a life group. What we have in common is significantly stronger than that. People that maybe because they're from a different stage of life or not a different stage of life, from a different class of society or from a different part of town or something like that, that you just don't feel comfortable around people who have that much money or that little money or whatever, not a good reason to leave a life group. If there's no slave or free in Colossae, then those dividing lines of our society shouldn't divide us. A healthy community is not something you find. It's not something that you fall into. It's something that you build, that we build. We build it by clinging to what's true, that Christ is all and is in all, and then choosing how we're going to interact by putting on, clothing ourselves in humility, kindness, gentleness, by standing up for one another in forgiveness, and by over everything else putting on love, which in 1 John the author says, God is love. Loving someone is the most Christ-like thing that you can do. So Paul tells us something that we have to know, we have to cling to, and he tells us something we're supposed to do, and then he gives us something we're supposed to let happen, and the order is very important here. He says, let the peace of Christ rule among you. Why? Because Satan wants to divide us. He wants to draw us apart. He wants to tear us apart. But it's as if we know what's true and choose how we're going to treat one another, that Christ can replace the frustration with peace. That if I choose to see every other person as in Christ, if they are in Christ, if I choose to see my community as in Christ, then what the enemy would turn into a fight, I can let go. I can let the peace of Christ rule. Then what Satan would turn into tension, I can say, you know what? I don't need to be offended. I'm going to let the peace of Christ rule. I can allow the peace of Christ to rule in my heart and rule in my community. I can let that happen. How? By clinging to what's true and choosing how I'm going to treat people. And then he goes on. He says, let the message of Christ dwell richly among you. The content of a life group matters. We've got a lot of new life groups this semester who are going over incredible content. You might want a women's group that's crafting and studying humility, so you're going to join Jeanette on Thursdays. Or you might want to study the book Crazy Love and let that frame the way that you see scripture with Carrie on Wednesday mornings. Or you might want to take responsibility as a man for pursuing healing of the woundedness in your life and pursuing your own spiritual health. So you're going to do life's healing choices with Fred and with Joe on Monday nights. Or you might want to build a deep foundation in faith and worship and sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with your community. So you're going to join Ramiro and Paula on Monday nights. We've got lots of incredible groups. You might say, you know what? I don't want my marriage to happen to me. I want to take responsibility for my marriage. So I'm going to join Travis and Audie during second service on Sunday mornings, where I've got free childcare in the kids ministry. And we're going to take our marriage seriously for this semester. We've got lots of awesome life groups. I can't name them all. The content matters, and it matters a lot, but it matters as you have clung to what's true and built the foundation in what you do. Let me be as clear as I can. You could find life-changing content in a life group, but if we're not clinging to what's true and choosing how we treat one another, the content will have no effect. But as we choose to cling to what's true, that we are in Christ, Christ is all and is in all, and we choose to put on kindness and build the foundation of love and compassion for one another and forgiveness, then the content that we study, the Holy Spirit will use that to change your heart, to change your life, to change your mind, to plant scripture deeply into your heart and mind so that it changes the way you interact with the world around you, so that everything you do will be in the name of Jesus and in thanksgiving. This is how we build healthy communities, because healthy communities, healthy life groups are not found, they're built. So in a few minutes, we're going to take communion. That's how we're going to end our service this morning. But before we do that, I want to give you something that we're doing a little bit different this semester in life groups. All of our life groups on the first day that we meet are going to be asked to go over what we're calling our community covenant. All the life group leaders have it in their emails. They'll be ready to talk about it with you on the first day. And I want to give a disclaimer. You might hear this and it will feel like rules, but I want to encourage you, don't treat this like you're a high schooler and this is a curfew. Treat this like, you know, you're married and you both agreed to actually eat green stuff for once. Like you're deciding together to pursue health and you need to commit to something together. That's the idea. This community covenant will give us a framework to do what Paul instructed us to do in Colossians 3. I believe that if we commit to these things, then we will be living out these instructions. This community covenant is 5 agreements. The first thing we agree to do is to keep confidence. I can be confident that this life group is safe, that it's a place I can grow and share and go through the ups and downs of life if I know for sure, because we all agreed that nothing I share is going to wind up on a text chain or on Facebook or as a prayer request. Hey, could you pray for so-and-so? Did you hear? Which, by the way, is gossip, not a prayer request, just for the record. We will keep confidence. The second thing is that we will respect one another. You're probably thinking, CJ, that's obvious. I respect people, and I'm sure you do. But what we mean by this is we've all got a distraction in our pocket that keeps us from respecting the conversation around us. So we'll keep our phones on vibrate and in our pockets rather than scrolling texts and Instagram. If you've got a call you need to take for work or family, that's okay. But unless, except for that exception, we'll just keep our phones away during life group so we can respect one another. And with that, we won't talk over one another, we won't interrupt, we won't talk down to one another. Because here's the thing, week 2 of life group, somebody in your group might share the silliest thing you've ever heard, and it might be easy to make it into a joke. I get that. But week 3, you might say the silliest thing they've ever heard. So we just won't talk down to one another. We will respect what the other person shares. The third thing is engagement. Where are the extroverts at? Yeah, you guys will raise your hand. Yeah, yeah. I'm also an extrovert. If you are like me and you have the constant temptation to be the only one talking in the room, case in point, then we will dial it back in life group. So that everybody can engage, because everyone's perspective matters. And if you are an introvert and you have the temptation to be the only one who doesn't say anything, then you'll dial it up a little, because everybody's perspective matters. It needs to be a place where we all can share, because we are all made in the image of Christ, and Christ is all and is in all. Fourth is listening. We will agree, commit to listening. I am still learning this lesson as a husband, that listening is better than fixing. I'm sure that sounds familiar to some of you. The reality of that is that when you share something that's going on in your life, nobody enjoys hearing, but have you tried? Well, have you tried? Well, how about this? Well, if you just did that, that's not fun. So we will listen. And instead of offering advice, if we feel compelled to offer advice, we'll just do it after group, one-on-one. Hey, I heard what you said. The Lord laid this on my heart. I want to share this with you. If someone asks for advice, absolutely, give it. Life group is a wonderful place to ask for advice and ask for help. We're going to focus on listening to what the other person has to say, not trying to imagine my response while they're still talking, but listening to everything they say. So it can be a safe place where we can all engage. The last thing is commitment, which simply means that if I commit to a life group, I'll be there. And I'll be there to the best of my ability on time and prepared. Life happens. There are really good reasons to miss life group. You get called into work. You got something going on with the kids. You get sick. Those are all good reasons to miss life group. Sometimes life happens and you just don't read the chapter you were supposed to read. That's fine. We're not judging anybody here. But we will make the commitment to the best of our ability to be prepared for the conversation. The author and pastor John Mark Comer says that intimacy or deep relationships survives in the safety of commitment. You can't build a deep relationship where we don't consistently show up. So we will prioritize life group. There are good reasons not to be in a life group. But once again, I wanted to watch Tommy Boy and eat pizza with the boys is not a good reason to miss life group. I played video games until 2 a.m., so I'm really tired and I want to take a nap after work. It's not a good reason to miss life group. We will commit to the best of our ability to be present and to show up for our communities. So you can probably see what the application of this sermon is. It's join a life group. We're going to be at the hallway by the doors to help you find a life group. You can stop listening to what I'm saying now and go on our website and join a life group. That's totally fine. We believe community matters. We don't do life groups to add to your schedule or to get more on the calendar. We actually believe that for as long as there have been Christians, we have gathered in community. We actually believe that it's part of being a human being made in the image of God to need deep relationships with one another. So join a life group and check out this video.
Can you describe your life group involvement since you've been here at New Life?
Oh, they're my favorites. So we started in a new to New Life life group. Well, I did the mom's life group, but it was really before like heavy involvement in the church. And so when we really started, Richard and Chris Dickey had a new to New life group. Mm-hmm. And we went to that. And I would say that was really the turning point of our relationship with New Life. And I still just love them. And we have lifelong friends that we have come from that. And so we really wanted to get into a couples life group, and they're kind of a hot commodity. And for a couple of semesters, they weren't open. And so finally we just said, forget it. We just, you know, we'll do our own. And so we made our own couples life group, being very unworthy to be life group leaders, especially to other married couples. You know, some have been married longer than us. Some have been married shorter than us. But we did it. And so those are our people. We share excitement and heartbreak and life with them, and I just can't even imagine. And then probably a year and a half ago, I joined a women's life group, also Chris Dickey's life group.
Cool.
We just had dinner last night, and I love it because it's just like everyday people that have the same struggles and the same everything as us. And there's nothing that makes me feel like they're superior, you know, that they're holier than I am, you know, that they've got this all figured out. Like, we are all messy people and we share that all together. And I can't imagine my life without these 24 people in it.